One final FPL frenzy before the season starts. We discussed a Solanke-shaped saga that means no Salah, other draft dilemmas as we nail down our sides, and some pre-season predictions as Jules tries to defend his crown. Well, this is it. Game week one is finally here. Do not panic, though, if you're not sorted, because I'm certainly not. Kelly Summers here with you, back with the final FPL pod before the season starts, and hopefully helping me and everyone else through, Sam Bonfield and Julian Laron. Jewel, back from the Olympics. No excuses now. You've got to sort this team out.
Yeah, but it's, you know, I'm multitasking, as you know. I can do the FPL and my team and the Olympics. You know what the last sport I covered on the Olympics?
Right, okay, so I've been told to talk, because through this, it's basketball.
Yeah! And I saw Steph Curry and LeBron James.
If you follow Jules on social media, you'll know that. So would you say that's a career highlight or a life highlight?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, 100%, without a doubt. They were, like, literally there, Kelly, like, you know, like almost we played in the same team. So, you know, as a massive basketball fan and NBA fan, to cover them was just, one of the best moments of my professional career, for sure.
Well, I'm very pleased for you, but Sam, bring this round to FPL, will you? Are you ready?
I was just saying, because often you wonder, like, what sport? So now I've done, you know, swimming, running and athletics and now
basketball. And also, you didn't make people wait until the end of the podcast. You did it at the beginning, so now everyone's switched off already.
We'll get some football skills at the end of the pod, Cal.
Yeah. Sam, bring us back round to FPL, because we're a couple of minutes in and we're now talking about the wrong sport. We're going to get in trouble.
Yeah, it's nearly there now, isn't it? And I think this is the bit of pre-season where everybody either goes, I'm happy, and they settle, or goes into absolute meltdown.
Yeah, nobody's happy, surely.
Do you know what? At the beginning of the weekend, I was like, I think I'm settled. And then I really wasn't.
You weren't.
And then
who settled? I'm sorry, but who settled at the beginning of the final weekend of pre-season friendlies before the Community Shield, before signings, injuries, games? Mm. If you say you're settled, you're lying.
Well, it's the settling in terms of, like, I feel like this team's quite good. And then obviously the last pre-seasons play a part, but it's also the signings that have had a massive impact on my team, because suddenly I'm now like, okay, everything's gone out the window.
I get the feeling it might be one signing in particular. Jules, which signing do we think that might have affected Sam?
Could it be somebody who plays in white and came from a club from the south that you know well, Kelly, maybe, to a North London club?
I think it could be. And hands up, we can do this now because we're on YouTube. Hands up if you've already got him in your FPL team. I know. For the interest of those of you listening on podcast, there's a little, your first reminder of the day, we're also on YouTube. We have all put our hands up, and that is not surprising, is it, Sam?
No, because, like, if you can have Spurs as number 9 for $7.5 million.
By the way, we're talking about Dominic Solanke. I realised we didn't actually name him. Dominic Solanke.
Yeah, arriving before it was officially announced he was in my team, and then I sat there refreshing the app going, put him in a Spurs shirt. Go on, do it quicker. And then eventually he landed in a Spurs shirt. I was very happy about that. But yeah, I think if you can have the Spurs number 9 for $7.5 million, it makes for the perfect third forward. And I can see a lot of teams being changed quite substantially to afford that, because obviously if for a lot of people, if you had a João Pedro or you had a Chris Wood or you had a Muniz down there, you're going to have to find a little bit of extra budget. So that's the problem I had this week. It was just, I needed to find some budget from somewhere else.
I think it will also affect a few of those people who were getting quite excited, you included, Sam, about the potential of an out-of-position Spurs midfielder. So I presume we'll talk about your team in a little bit more detail later on. We'll also talk about some of the other new signings in the league later on. I just wanted to mention Solanke because we've got a personal interest in the podcast and it does feel like actually all of a sudden we might have a bit of a template front three for lots of people. Now, early shout out, first shout out of the season. By the end of the season last year, I knew the pod mini league code off by heart, but we've got a new one here now that I need to learn. So this is your first invitation to join myself, Sam and Jules, and all of the rest of the listeners in playing against us this season. Can you beat Jules? Myself and Sam certainly hope so. The code is Q7YCO0. So that's like a little O, the letter, and then zero. Q7YCO0. Please do join. Hope to see lots of you in there. Okay, let's reflect then on the final round of preseason friendlies and the one that probably, Jules, tells us the most, particularly given the fact that it was between two of the biggest teams in the league, and it's the most serious, official, unofficial, friendly, if you're going to call it a friendly, silverware. I'm talking about the Community Shield, Manchester City versus Manchester United. What did you take away from that?
I thought it was a bit cagey for 90 minutes, no extra time. Obviously, we went straight to penalties. I expected it to be fair. Neither team really starting their strongest 11 for obvious reasons. Some players just coming back from injury, from holiday, sorry, some injured, some new signings there and there. But you've got to see still little bits there that would, I think, benefit us in the game. For example, we saw, I think, again, a very good Oscar Bob. Which is, we've mentioned him, we've highlighted him already in our first three shows, who I think is a very interesting player. We saw that Haaland didn't score again, but he never really scores in Community Shield and yet always starts the season well. So that's not, I don't think that's a worry. We saw Alejandro Garnacho coming on for United scoring and doing really well. Not so much Marcus Rashford, who had some chances that he didn't take, which again, I think is interesting for the game if you were thinking about getting Marcus Rashford too. So I thought it was a very still interesting game, despite not being the most entertaining.
Sam, what about you? What did you take away from it? I was particularly interested in Manchester City for this one, although the whole thing of players coming back from international doesn't really help us with this game.
No, it does make it more difficult. And I think, you know, because it's been an international summer, it has made that part of FPL a little bit more difficult. I mean, Oscar Bob, he did continue to impress again. And, you know, he's now played in 92% of the minutes that Man City have played in pre-season. He's got 2 goals and 3 assists in that time, more minutes than anybody else has got for Manchester City this summer. So what does that tell you? Well, it's difficult with Pep, isn't it? Because you never really know what he's going to do. But he has looked good this pre-season and got enough minutes to suggest that he will get the nod for game week one. So if you do want to go for the cheap option in midfield, then I think you have that there. I do worry a little bit longer term about how that Man City team's going to look when you get, you know, the likes of Foden and Bernardo Silva and those guys coming back into the starting 11. And obviously Grealish had been having a good pre-season and then wasn't available for the Community Shield. So yeah, it was an interesting learning point. It put Bob firmly back on my radar. Haaland, I agree with what George just said. I'm not worried about him. He scored a brace in the last two game week ones. So just because he didn't do a lot in this one doesn't worry me too much.
Yeah, the last two seasons, he got 2 goals and 13 points on the opening day. So yeah, don't get too panicked if you are. Oscar Bob to me, Jules, feels very much like a Julian Laurent signing, someone you would go for. Considering him?
I've got him in the squad already. I've said that before. Yeah, of course. A 5-on-5, I think, is a good enabler to have then. I still think that I think he will start game week one, and it's against Chelsea away. So we said it's a difficult fixture to start with City. But I think he will start. I think on that right hand side where him as a left footed attacking midfielder or attacking player is really interesting, because since Mahrez left, and even Mahrez last season was not the best, you've got Bernardo there, but I think Bob is more of a player that suits that position than Bernardo Silva, really. For me, he's more of a central player. So I think there's a role for him in his team. Okay, maybe not consistently for the whole season, 90 minutes every time, because he will still be, I think, more of a squad player than a regular starter, guaranteed starter. But for now, in terms of form, and like Sam said, who's been playing, who's just coming back, who's not really fully fit to start a Premier League match of the caliber of Chelsea away, for example, I think he's there, and he's been City's best player really in the summer so far.
What about Manchester United, Sam? Because I was really interested in how Marcus Rashford was going to do. I feel like he's got a point to prove. Jules mentioned it there, missed some chances. Is he or anyone else from Erik ten Hag's side worth investment?
Yeah, I mean, Rashford, I was watching him because actually he's priced really nicely in their game. And I think actually I was quite disappointed with him because he was getting in the right places, doing the right things, and then just not finishing any of them. And the one chance in particular that really he should have put away. And Marcus Rashford of two seasons ago would have put that away with his eyes closed. And so I don't know. For me, they're still very much a wait and see. That game is the opening game of the season, right, against Fulham. I don't see that being an easy game for Manchester United by any stretch of the imagination. They've got some defensive issues in terms of injuries. So I'm looking at them thinking, I feel like they're a team that if they start well in the sort of opening two or three game weeks, then I might look to invest, because they're not difficult to get to in terms of their price points. So I do think you can afford to just wait and see on Manchester United. And that's what I'll be doing, because apart from Garnacho, nobody really stood out from the red side of Manchester in that one for me anyway.
You agree, Jules?
Yeah, but I have to say I was convinced by Garnacho enough to bring him back into the squad where he was
straight
first.
Away.
And then, yeah, I think he will start this weekend. I think he would just be United's biggest threat, let's put it that way, going forward, more than anybody else. And I think he's got, the summer has been a good summer for him. For many, I mean, even the last 18 months have been an incredible journey for him. And I think he's still so young and still very raw in many respects, but has something very special, I think. And this team is still being built in a way. There's some new signings, there's still Ten Hag, but Ten Hag has a lot to prove himself too. And I think Garnacho is the one value in that team that, you know, I think he's going to deliver. If there's one to deliver, even more than Bruno, more than, we can look at defenders, we can look at Højlund, we can look at Xerxes, we can look at all those different options. For me, Garnacho is the one who is the most established in a position, knowing exactly what to do. Everybody knows his strength, as we saw on his goal and the competition. And that's why his goal is such a Garnacho goal. Such a Garnacho goal, that this is what he does so well. And I think he can do that all season. So at his price, I think it's a no-brainer. If you want a United player, if you don't want a United player, but I was quite convinced by the way United play against City in that Community Shield. I didn't expect them to play at that kind of level already in the season. So I think it's going to be a very good season from United, from a United point of view. And I think Garnacho will be the key in that.
Jules, I've got some good news for you, actually, because, you know, before when you were listing having Oscar Bob, I think you said he was 5.5 million. He's actually only five.
Only five? Sorry, I thought it was 5.5.
No, it's all right, but it means that you've got it 0.5 million more than you thought you had.
Exactly, so. You see? Money in the bank.
Okay, moving on to the other pre-season matches then, because it wasn't just the Community Shield that took place last weekend, and it's one of the final games for Premier League sides where they kind of show their hand a little bit more. We get maybe a bit more of an indication of what they'll look like on game week one. The one I was most interested in and paid most attention to, I'm going to be honest, was Liverpool, because I said this time last week that I was struggling to get Mo Salah in. I'm still struggling to get Mo Salah in. It's an eternal problem that so many of us have got. I'm leaning towards Diogo Jota. Sam, what do you think of that?
Yeah, the Dominic Solanke, who I'm sure we'll talk more about in a little bit, bringing him in has upset my team even further.
Uh-oh.
Because it means that it has, because it means that in order to afford him, I've had to take some money out of someone else, because I was absolutely certain I didn't want to take that money out of Salah. Mm-hmm. I now have an even weaker midfield than I started with last week. It's basically Salah or bust now. And I'm looking at that team and I'm thinking, I need to find a bit more balance here, because if I get two game weeks into the season and players like Garnacho have done something really good, or players in the 8.5, or, you know, Arsenal, who I'm terrified about not having, play really well, then I am really going to struggle to bring them in. So I need to find a way to balance my team, and Jota feels like the most obvious way of doing that. I mean, obviously, he gets the goal in this one. Salah didn't get any attacking returns, but Salah was still good in this game. He still had plenty of good opportunities and could have easily got something out of it. So it's not that I think that Salah is a bad pick. It's just the more these new signings come in, the more it changes the way that the rest of your team looks, the more you have to find compromises. And I'm not sure how far I'm prepared to compromise on Salah yet. I'm still not 100% sure that I'm willing to go that far with my compromises. But I do think that Jota is looking like a really nice alternative. And as we said last week, he does look like he's going to start in the number nine. I mean, Liverpool played two matches that day, and it was Jota who started in, I guess, what you would call the first team match. And yeah, so Jota does feel like a good option if you don't have the budget for Salah, for sure.
Can you get round Salah by having Jota, Jules? Or is, are there any other options there in the Liverpool midfield? And do we need a Liverpool midfielder?
I think we need a Liverpool player, whatever that is. It could be a defender, could be a midfielder, could be a forward. It doesn't matter so much. I think you need one there. I think they will have a really good season with Arne Slot. And already they look really good when the guy has been in charge for a month. So I think you need someone. I tried to put Salah in before the Solanke move. And I just, the rest of the team outside of Haaland and Salah just didn't make me happy. I was just not convinced by it. So I decided no Salah. And I think if you decide no Salah, you can try like Sam and try to make it work. For me, I didn't think that it worked. If you can't make Salah, Jota for me is the obvious kind of replacement from a Liverpool point of view. And the goal he scored, which was a fantastic finish. And we know the talent is not the problem. The problem is the fitness, because he always keeps getting those little injuries there and there. But Jota, to start the season, he looks fully fit. He's ready. As we've said, they have really Ipswich away. It's hard to do a better fixture than that one, really. I could have been at home, but that's it, really. So I think Jota, if you can't make Salah, if you don't have that kind of money, because you also want Haaland and one or two other premiums, go for Jota. It's a great, great alternative, more than an alternative even, because I think if you compare the price and the value, I would rather have Jota than Salah.
Yeah, it does feel like that, doesn't it? Because he is so much cheaper, 7.5 million compared to 12.5 for Mo Salah. That's a whole 5 million. Good maths from me, I know. Elsewhere, other headlines, as we know, regular listeners will know maths is not my strong point. Other headlines, someone we've spoken through about a lot, and Nkunku was benched for Chelsea's final preseason match. Jules, how much do we read into that?
I'm not sure how much. Yeah, it's tough. And Chelsea is still a work in progress, very much so, we say, under Maresca.
Are you any more impressed than you last were?
Not really, no. I'm just very excited to see, maybe when the season starts properly, things will get in place better. But what a first game, as we said, to host City at Stamford Bridge would be very difficult. And I mean, Pedro Neto, who we'll talk about later, is also an interesting one from a Chelsea point of view. But yeah, I don't think Nkunku for me right now is the answer.
Yeah, I think we're seeing him fall out of a lot of people's drafts, aren't we? Good to see João Pedro back and scoring, Sam. But I almost feel like from what we said before about the forwards, it might be a little bit too little too late.
Yeah, I watched the Community Shield on Saturday with Az. And of course, Az is a massive, massive Brighton fan. He comes on here sometimes. And we said exactly the same thing. We were both like, oh, João Pedro back and scoring, that feels like a really great option. Oh, except that we all want Haaland and Isak, and now we all need Solanke as well. So it's difficult to find a spot for him. And it's a shame really with João Pedro, because we thought he was going to be good when the price came out. Then he missed pretty much all of pre-season with this rib injury that he had, didn't travel away with Brighton. Comes in, plays, 45 minutes in this game and scores. And yeah, I mean, it's one of those, isn't it? Where if you are absolutely set, that you have to have Haaland and you have to have Salah and you want a Trent or somebody in there as well, then players like João Pedro are probably going to be the way that you have to go. But we should just be a little bit mindful that Danny Welbeck has actually had a really good really preseason good, yeah. as well. Yeah, I mean, he's got 3 goals and an assist. He's played 69% of the minutes over the course of the preseason, 250 minutes of preseason. So in terms of like match fitness and being ready to go this season, Danny Welbeck is in the right place for them. So if you are going for João Pedro, there is the Welbeck problem potentially just sitting there as well.
Yeah. Worth thinking about him. Someone that I mentioned last week potentially getting rid of, and then Sammy made me feel so bad about it, I didn't. Eberechi Eze. He's not had the most exciting preseason, but he was away with England and it is just preseason. He's still in my team. Jules, what have you made of his preseason? Now, he's so popular in the game, isn't he? Do you think 7 million people should be looking elsewhere, or is he still really good value?
No, I think there's good value there. I think there's a case to make for him in your team, especially with Olise leaving. You would think that even more the kind of attacking game of Palace will rely on him. So he will be even more involved. I think it's a difficult summer for him because, one, as you said, he was with England at the Euros. Not that he played much, but that means the holiday starts at the end. So he misses pre-season for most of it, comes back. Kind of you play catch up a little bit. If you're an established international and everything, you're used to it, you know how it works. For him, it's the first one, really. The other thing is, I think, I just wonder how much he thought maybe he was going to move out of Crystal Palace this summer. And if maybe that can have a bit of an impact on his performances. I don't know. I just think that there's other options for me, like a Jota that is just slightly more expensive, that are more guaranteed in bracket. For returns than Eze right now. I just don't know fitness-wise where he is exactly. I don't think Palace have had an amazing preseason either, a bit like West Ham, who we'll talk about later with Fulkrug. So I'm not too sure, but later in the season, no problem, because if he shows that he's on great form and that Palace are doing well like they finished last season, then yeah, for sure. Right now, I'm not too convinced.
Sam, you still as locked on him?
Yeah, I am. I think so. I really like the fixtures for Palace. I think he'll have to be talismanic in his approach this season because, you know, without Elise, he will be their focal point in the midfield. So I'm still there. And I also think that by going in with him, if it doesn't go well, it's relatively easy to move around. And I do still believe that game week one should be about price points for a lot of the picks that you make. It's about making sure that you have flexibility across your squad to move as much as you need to in game weeks 1, 2, 3, you know, up until the point where you choose to play your wild card. It's having those little moments where you can go, Eze's not performed well, I'll get in a different player in the sort of 6 to 7 price point, or if I've kept some money in the bank, maybe I can get up to a Bowen if he starts the season well, or an Anthony Gordon or whoever it is. I think Eze will have a good season. Whether he hits the ground running, I mean, he got what, 61 minutes, I think, in this one. So enough time to kind of get his legs back in after the summer. But I think for me, he's still staying.
I tell you what, at this point, let's go through our teams as they stand, because we've hinted at some of the changes or some of the players that have survived our tinkering so far. Sam, run us through your team then. I'm saying run us through. In fact, tell us your changes from last week and then we'll go through your teams just so that the regular listeners can hear where you're at.
I mean, there's been quite a lot of changes, to be fair, because I needed to find a route to Solanke. Yeah. So I made some changes and they were minimal, and it basically involved taking the 0.5 million that I had in the bank, investing that up top, and then finding another million. So I basically took Kulusevski out and swapped him for Smith Rowe. So that was the easy route to doing it. But that does, as I said before, leave me with a team that I feel is weak across the midfield in terms of price points to move elsewhere, because it's basically Salah, and then Eze is the next most expensive. And then after that, it's budgets all the way. So my current draft doesn't have Salah in it anymore, which I know.
We had to wait 22 minutes for this bombshell.
No, I know. She did allude to it earlier. I thought this was coming. Jules, we've turned her for weeks. She's been trying to turn me into the Salah club and saying we need him. And now here we are. All it takes is a signing for Spurs, unsurprisingly, and it's all changed.
Yeah. Moore would be very disappointed in you. But anyway, let's go.
I know. He's not going to be friends with me anymore. But it does. The thing is, what I was looking at kind of the basic point was, who do I think is going to score more? If I have Salah and then, you know, somebody like a budget player in the kind of 6, 5.5 bracket, do I think they can outscore Jota and Saka? Because that's the alternative. I think Saka will have another really, really good season. It gives me an Arsenal player that I've been massively lacking in every draft that I've had so far. My actual new draft has changed quite a lot. There's very few of them that have
stayed.
Go
through that then. Go through that from the whole way through. Go through your whole squad.
Okay, so by not having Salah anymore, it means that I can afford to have Saliba. So I've got Henderson back in goal. And then a back three of Vardiol, Saliba and Pedro Porro. Midfield of Saka, Jota, Eze and then Smith Rowe. And then a forward line of Haaland, Isak and Solanke with a 4.0 goalkeeper on the bench. And then Barco, Winks and Robinson from Fulham as the three subs. So the subs bench is weak, but they are all players that are going to start the season.
Okay. You said to me the other day, didn't you, when we were on the fantasy show, that you thought our teams are going to be quite similar. They are quite similar, and I think they'll probably end up being more similar. Jules, what about yours?
So I made three changes compared to last week. Diogo Jota coming in for Anthony Gordon, who, because I've got Isak up front, I just feel that the double, as long as I've got one of them too, I think it's fine, because I think both of them will have a really good season like Newcastle. So that was the only way I could do Jota, was to get rid of Gordon. So I think that's fine. Garnacho for Elliot and then Solanke for Darwin up front.
Okay, run through your whole squad then.
So Fleck and Areola are the two goalkeepers, and I've got Porro, Barco, Saliba, Konsa and Davis from Ipswich. In midfield, Saka, Kudus, Jota, Garnacho and Bob. And then Solanke, Haaland and Isak.
Okay, it feels like we've got quite similar starting 11s, just with maybe some different benches. George's got a few differentials in there, though. My defence is not set, and it probably will. I think I'm going to have to sacrifice Gordon as well to enable me to upgrade my defence. I'm on Areola and Flecken as well. Gehi, Gvardiol, Konsa, Barso, Mosquera. Then in midfield, I've got Saka, Jota, Eze, Gordon, Winks, and then up front, the front three that everyone's got, Isak, Solanke and Haaland. On the topic of the front three, Jules, this time last week, you were also saying you were very excited to see how much the new West Ham man, Fulkrug, was going to cost. What did you make of the price that he came in at?
Yeah, 7 million. I was a little bit, I thought it was going to be slightly less. I thought it could be there for 6.5. He's got a tooth missing. So just for that, I thought, okay, knock him 0.5 million and that's fine. But I guess
because you feel sorry for him, or so he can have a go and fix his tooth.
Yeah, and I think he loves the fact that he doesn't have a tooth there. So, you know, but anyway, he's a Champions League finalist. He's a, you know, Euro, whatever they did with Germany, I can't even remember. So it's fine. It's fine. 7 million, I get it. But when I see a Solanke at 7.5, who's Premier League proven, scored 21 goals last season, even if with Solanke, you just never really know in terms of consistency because he's had some bad season in the Premier League too. I still would rather pay the little bit more for Solanke than go for Fulkrug. And West Ham, by the way, have had a really bad preseason, which doesn't mean anything when the season starts. I'm just saying that they haven't been great under Lopetegui so far. And Fulkrug has just arrived, hasn't really played yet with his new teammates and stuff. So I think it feels like Solanke is a safer bet anyway.
You feel like you've got a little bit of optimism around West Ham, though, the fact that you've gone with Kudus in midfield.
Yeah, because I think what they've building certainly in terms of recruitment is really, really good. And I like Lopetegui a lot. And again, I'm not sure how much you read into preseason performances, matches. Not everybody was there, not everybody was fit, all of that. So we'll have to see. But the good thing with Kudus, as what Sam was mentioning a little bit for Eze, is that if Kudus doesn't start well, it's easy to change. There's a lot of 6.5 million midfielders who are very good in the game. So if Kudus is not there, or if West Ham just take a bit of time to hit the ground running, then you can easily swap him for somebody else who's good, who started well.
Yeah, West Ham are a team I haven't really looked at, Sam. Automatically, I looked at Bowen's price when he came out because of what he did last season, but the whole international thing and the fact that he's at a congested price point in the game meant that I didn't consider him for long at all. Have you looked at any of their players at all?
Yeah, I mean, I always look at Jared Bowen, and I think he is so important to that West Ham team. And, you know, he has only played 67 minutes in preseason. He only played in the last one. And in that game, he got a goal and an assist. Like he always has that impact on that West Ham team. And he's a big game player, right? So, you know, I think when you look at it, it's a difficult game to start the season against Aston Villa. He scored against them last time around and got 16 goals and 6 assists, 182 points. Like, I think Bowen went a little bit under the radar last season, and I think he will go a little bit under the radar again this season. And it won't be through any fault of Jared Bowen's. It'll be because we're all talking about these other players in the same price points because of Jota and everything else. So I am definitely looking at West Ham. I always like Max Kilman. I think he's always a good pick in fantasy, and under Lopetegui's side, you know, usually they are quite solid defensively. And so if they start the season with some more solid defensive performances than we've seen in pre-season, then there'll be a defence that I look to invest in, because unlike you two, I'm not going to go for Areola this time around. But yeah, I mean, I'm all eyes on West Ham. They're another team a bit like Manchester United for me, that I'm going to wait and see how they start the season before I invest. Yeah. But they're definitely on the radar.
Jules, you mentioned him earlier. Pedro Neto has gone to Chelsea for big money. We know what Pedro Neto could do in a Wolves team that wasn't the most attacking at times. He's a brilliant, brilliant player. But there feels like there's quite a lot of uncertainty in terms of where he fits into this side, how Chelsea are going to do, as you've said. Would he be someone that's just on your watch list at the moment?
Yeah, I think so. The problem, as you say, is the fitness, really. Last season, even last season, he had a good season, because I think there's 9 assists in the Premier League and 3 or 4 goals, something like that, in 24 games. But there's more games that he missed through injury. The 2 seasons before that, it was even worse. I think he played 10 games and 15 games or something like that in the Premier League. You need players who are reliable in this game. Otherwise, you can't keep changing and transferring, et cetera, et cetera. So Neto, in terms of talent, no problem. But I've got issues with the fitness and or the question mark around his fitness all the time. And also the fact that, as we've been saying, Chelsea right now are still very much a work in progress, and they've got a lot of options. They're going to buy more players. They've signed a lot of players already. I'm not sure if Maresca knows where his strongest starting 11 is right now. So, yeah, I would not put him in the squad now, but just, yeah, keep an eye on him. And just to finish on West Ham, they signed Jean-Claire Todibo, the French centre-back.
Oh, yeah.
Who's only 4.5 million. No, don't worry, 4.5 million. I think he's really, really interesting. And he's from Paris. And we even played in the same club in Paris. Not at the same time, because I'm slightly older than him.
Slightly.
Just the 20 years, but that's fine. You know, but we still played for the same team. So yeah, he's a Lila boy like me. So
are you going to bring him
in the game? Yeah, maybe. I'm going to do my all Paris starting 11, as you know, very soon. Yeah. But I think he's got a really good case, because like Sam said, if they are solid defensively, which I think Lopetegui can do easily, then I think at that price, Todibo becomes a very, very attractive pick.
Sam, someone that you mentioned is in your team now, Emile Smith Rowe. I can't remember because my memory is useless. Had Smith Rowe signed for Fulham at the time of our last recording? I feel like he had.
We mentioned him, I think, yeah.
Yeah,
I think we had. We mentioned him.
Or we knew that he was...
It was maybe happening.
Yeah, yeah. So I think we spoke about him, but his price point for what we know he can produce at Arsenal, I'm not surprised that you've brought him in, because he could be big in that Fulham side. And also, you had Muniz at one point, didn't you, in your draft? Obviously, a lot of people now aren't going to have Muniz, but will maybe have wanted him as third forward. Smith Rowe's another nice way of getting into that Fulham attack and maybe getting a share of the goals potentially that Muniz could score, because you'd presume that he will link up with Smith Rowe as well.
Absolutely. And I think what you just said is exactly how my thought process went. It was, I need to take out Muniz because I want to put in Solanke, but I don't want to de-invest in Fulham, because I like the idea of having Fulham for those opening fixtures that they have. And we spoke about fixtures a lot last week, and they're so nice for Fulham to start the season that I still wanted to be invested there. So, yeah, I mean, he's played 126 minutes for them in pre-season. He's got a couple of goals for them already. Like you said, we do know what he can do. He has done that at Arsenal in the past. He's been so unlucky when he's been at Arsenal with injuries and then with getting back into the team, because Arsenal have been playing so well that it's been difficult for him to kind of break through. Yeah, I mean, last season he made 3 starts, came on a further 10 times off the bench, but when he was coming off the bench, he was coming off in like the 68th, 78th, 80th minutes. It wasn't like he was getting loads of time, but he did average 5 points per start when he was at Arsenal last time around. So if he can bring that form that he has and stay fit and get regular starts, and all of those are big potential buts, I suppose, but in that Fulham team, I would expect that he will get regular starts, then I think he could be a really, really nice option, and he's cheap. So from that perspective, I think at 5.5, he offers good value for a starter in that Fulham team with great fixtures.
Any other non-Parisian signings, Jules, that I've forgotten to mention that you want to shout out?
No, I would say Fabio Carvalho from Liverpool to Brentford is one to keep an eye on, because he's quite low priced. Yeah. And we probably have a couple of Manchester United boys coming in De Ligt and Mazraoui, especially more than De Ligt. I think Mazraoui as an attacking fullback, depending on his price, if the transfer goes through and everything, I think Mazraoui could be, again, quite interesting. If the price is right and you're looking for somebody who would keep a few clean sheets there and there, but more importantly, attacking-wise, is one of those defenders, one of those fullbacks, I think Mazraoui could be good. So at the moment, that's the 3 that I wrote down.
How aware are you, Sam, of signings that happen this week? And it can, the Solanke one's a prime example, isn't it, of how it can actually completely throw our whole teams. And in a way, thank goodness that Postecoglou and Spurs got that signing done last week, rather than even after the deadline or after game week one, because we'd have had to restructure things around a little bit.
Yeah, and we saw this last season, right? And some managers will make signings in the final week and then they won't start in the first game week, and that's fine. But Postecoglou and Spurs don't tend to do that. I mean, we signed Mickey van der Ven like 3 days before the start of the season last year, and he still got the start in that one. So I think you have to be a little bit mindful of that. But it's not just about the player that comes in. It's also about the players that potentially either lose out and don't start, who have been playing in pre-season, or the ones that shift position and end up playing somewhere different. So it's just making sure that you keep a really, really close eye on what's happening ahead of game week one, and then making sure that your team is reactive to that, because you can't do anything about it. Once game week one hits, you're just going to have to use your transfers to make those changes. But it's worth looking at who might come in. And even if it happens after the deadline, who might it be that's going to change the way that your team is? And then trying as best as you can to maybe plan for that.
Okay, so keep an eye out. There could be another Solanke on the horizon to throw up our whole entire teams. That'll be fun, won't it? Okay, I think I said last week, but differential of the week has been so successful and so entertaining for those of us that get to watch on as Sam and Jules do battle that we are going to do it again. A reminder, a differential are players that are owned by under 10% of the game. Who won last season, guys?
Me.
Sam's putting her hand up. Yes, Sam won it. Jules.
Yes, you beat me overall, but I won the differentials.
Oh, okay.
Jules, I think it's time for
some
revenge.
I know which one
I
would rather win. Yeah, for sure. I've got a great one to start with. Not a surprise, really. But
I wasn't going to let you go first because Sam actually won, but you've already...
It's fine.
Jota, oh, come on.
What? 7.7% ownership?
Sam, hold on a sec. Sam is the one that kind of writes the basis of our scripts here. Differentials at this stage of the season.
I've got another one for you.
Well, to be fair, though, Kel, I did have Jota as one of my options. So I'm not going to go too heavy on him for this because I also had a similar thought.
I've got a better one.
Go on.
I'm going to give you, because you're not happy with my Diogo Jota.
Hold on, you never come with two either. This is amazing. Turned over a new leaf.
No, no. Yeah.
It's all about planning, talent and vision.
Here we go.
If you want to finish top 4,000 in the world, you know what you have to do.
Just tell us your differential.
Yankuba Minte at Brighton. Incredible preseason. Very good last season at Feyenoord on loan from Newcastle. Good signing from Brighton. 5.5 million, which is really, really cheap in the game for a midfielder. Owned by 1.3% of the managers so far. And Everton away, okay, not the easiest of fixture. I give you that for Brighton and the new coach and the new team in a way. But I just think that he's been electric so far in preseason. He was in the last friendly against Villarreal where he scored again. He's got an iconic celebration, so I hope we get to see the celebration this weekend.
Okay, I like that one. That one was better. But Diogo Jota, that feels like the kind of differential that Sam would pick that you would shout at.
No, I mean, she picked Havertz like four times last season somehow.
Whoa,
and you let her.
Come on now.
I've laid out my stall there. I've set my stall out. I'm being stricter this season. I want proper differentials. And you gave us one there, Jules. So well done, Sam. Come on then. The title.
Shall I pick Jota then just to annoy him?
No, I won't allow that. I'm being stricter.
The teacher says no.
The defense of your title.
Starts now.
Commences.
Yeah. It starts here. Yes. It starts with Jarrod Bowen as the first one of the season. I think Bowen counts. So who's got Bowen in their teams? He's owned by 7%.
Who's got Jota? 7% of like 9 million players. Nobody has Jota.
Yeah, but Jules, by the time game week one starts, Jota's going to be owned by a lot more than 10%.
Right now, it's 7%.
Okay, I didn't do this in advance, but maybe we should have said this week that it's players that they can't have had a brilliant season last year because Bowen wasn't a differential last year. He was one of the main players. No, Sam? Hold on. Also, I think we might have exposed the 1 week where Sam's only come with one player.
No, I've got three. So I had Jota, who I knew Jules would pick. So I was like, well, I'll pick another couple. So then I picked Bowen because I think he'll be brilliant. And then my other one is Smith Rowe. So I can go Smith Rowe.
I'll tell you what, let's do for this week. I'm just going to rewrite the rules. We're all both allowed two differentials. So you can have Jota and Bowen as your first differentials. I'm saying like it's not proper differentials.
They're under 10%.
I want a deep dive differential though. Go on. So your deep dive differential is Smith Rowe, yeah?
Okay.
But you've got two. You can have Bowen as your first one. Like Jules has got Jota as his first one.
Okay. So Bowen and Smith Rowe against Jota and Minte.
Yeah, I don't know what this is going to do for the scoring system. It's probably completely screwed it up.
But being fair,
because both of you went for differentials that are technically differentials, but in terms of the wider picture, don't really feel like differentials. So,
but Smith Rowe is actually owned by more of the game than Bowen is.
That's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
But he's still less than 10%. He has to be less than 10%. So
yeah, he is. He's 9.7.
That's more than Jota.
Smith Rowe is owned by Jota. He's owned by more than Jarrod Bowen. He's owned by more than...
Week one and differential of the week is in disarray.
This is because you've changed the rules.
Well, no, but I feel like by both of us hammering Jota, we've kind of we've set ourselves up here a bit, Sam.
I didn't hammer Jotter. I've got him as one of my options as well, but I'll go with Smith Rowe. It's fine. So he got, like I said earlier, he got just three starts last season. He only played 413 minutes for Arsenal, but he's already done 126 for Fulham in pre-season and scored two goals for them. Like I said, when he was playing for Arsenal, he got two assists and he was averaging 5 points per start. Now, you have to kind of take that with a little bit of a pinch of salt because he did only start in the three games. But when he does start, he does tend to get some attacking returns in that one. And I think, you know, if you look at what's happened in pre-season, he's come in, he's already made quite an impact on that Fulham team. And I would expect that that would continue. And they've got really nice fixtures going into this early part of the season. So I think he's a differential that works for game week one. But when you are picking a diff for game week one, you do want them to kind of be decent for the few weeks that follow as well. So I think he's one that you could hold relatively long term too.
Okay, good luck working out the scoring for that, to be honest, because
that's my job. So that'll be fun.
I know. That's why I was thinking, not only have I killed your differential, I've also killed the scoring as well. But just in the interest of fairness, you can both have two this week, a differential and a differential. Captaincy then, are we all going to be going Haaland? Because that's not the easiest fixture. But when you spend 15 million on a player, feels hard not to captain him, doesn't it, Jules?
Yeah, it does. Although I'm really tempted by Diogo Jota against Ipswich away for Liverpool because of the form. Because, like we said, I think Liverpool are ready. Mm. They really are.
And because he's differential.
And because, yeah, true. Because I think a lot of people are going to go for Haaland captain as well. So, I don't know. Isak at home to Southampton, or Gordon, if you have Gordon as your Newcastle player, is also very tempting. So for now, it's on Jota, but it might change to Haaland or maybe even Isak.
Yeah, some nice options this week, isn't there, Sam?
Yeah, mine's on Isak at the moment, but it could yet move to Haaland because, you know, it's Haaland. I also really love the idea of waiting to Monday night for a captain. And like, actually, if you've got Son, his record on a Monday evening fixture is ridiculous, by the way, so you could look at him on Monday evening if you want to go there. But I think for me, if I had Salah, he'd be in the conversation, but we all know I hate captaining someone in the 12:30. Mm-hmm. I just don't enjoy it, and Liverpool don't tend to travel well on a 12:30 kickoff either historically, but it is under a new manager and maybe times have changed. I think I'll end up captaining Isak.
Son's an interesting one, actually. I can't believe we've got to the end of the podcast without mentioning him. He's someone else that's probably going to be a victim in terms of ownership, Sam, of that Solanke signing, isn't he? Because before Solanke signed, he was a really nice option too.
And he was steadily growing in ownership. So he was kind of at this 8 when pre-season started, where all of the other premium options were owned by like 30% of the game, and he was at 8%. And I was like, what is happening? And then as pre-season has gone on, his ownership has steadily increased, and then it's taken a little bit of a hit since the Solanke move because people are thinking, well, why do I need to spend 10 when I could spend 7.5 on the Spurs forward? And it's all of that kind of internal negotiation that you do with yourself, that's how much do I need to spend on each club? And I think Solanke will harm Son's ownership. So if you do have him, he is going to be, although not officially a differential, because I think at the moment he's about 11% owned, okay, he will be a relatively good differential.
If he was a differential, you'd have 100% picked him.
Oh, totally.
Differential of the week.
And then you'd have turned me off for that as well.
For sure.
We did two types of differentials this week, guys. Come on. Okay, so this is something that isn't in our plan, and we do have to wrap up the podcast right now. But this is one of the first seasons in a while, Sam, where we haven't done any predictions. And I just think it's quite nice to do it. So let's just predict who we think is going to be the highest scoring FPL player of the season. Jules, who do you think it's going to be?
I would go...
I've put you on the spot here, sorry.
Yeah, a little bit, but it's
or
fine.
Sam?
I do think it'll be Haaland, boringly. I think he'll have a really good season this year.
I don't want to
because he's had the summer off.
I know, but I don't want to say Haaland. Yeah, you know, I told you last week you went fishing, salmon and stuff, cutting trees. Okay, Haaland.
Well, sorry. That was a nice, boring note to end on, wasn't it?
Sorry.
And who's going to finish top out of us three? I'm gonna back Sam to retake the crown.
Who finished top last season? I can't remember.
Some stupid friend. I'm Benjamin.
Talent, vision, and planning. As you know.
I'm gonna go for a Sam Jules Kelly finish. I'm really backing myself. Jules, you're going to go for Jules Sam Kelly, probably.
Yeah. I need to win this again to show that last season was not a fluke. And then Sam at some point can't be as bad as she was last season for most of it. So she finished second. And you, Kelly, because you do all your transfers like 5 minutes before deadline every time.
I just love a panic, don't I? Yeah.
But all three of us will be in the top 50,000 in the world. This is my bold prediction.
That's my target as well, actually, to come top 50K.
All three of us will be top 50.
Yeah, I was kind of at points floating towards it, but at points floating outside of the top 100. So yeah. Sam, where do you think we're all going to finish? And what do you want to finish overall, what's your target?
Kels, our teams are going to end up being quite similar again. So if I have a good season, you'll have a good season. That's how I feel
about
it.
She copies on you all the time, that's why.
Yeah, but I beat her last season, so why would I copy her?
Exactly. We just think the same way, Kelly. That's all it is.
Okay.
I've got to have a better season. I can't do this again. I can't have him beat me again.
Maybe you should start copying me.
Shall I?
That's a great start of this season.
Kelly, it's impossible for someone to copy you because you make your transfers 2 minutes before the deadline. So nobody can copy what you're doing.
I'm making some ridiculous faces on this YouTube thing now. I've just forgotten that we're actually on YouTube and I'm like making all these like pointing at you. I need to stop. In fact, I'm going to end the podcast here before I embarrass myself. So Sam, are you backing yourself to finish on top out of the three of us?
Yeah, surely.
All
and
right.
then me bottom.
No, I'll back you to finish above Jules this year, Kels.
Yes. And what's your target?
It's always top 10K. And I need a good season after last year.
Okay. Yeah, very best of luck with it, guys. This is it. This is where we begin then. How locked would you say your drafts are percentage-wise, Jules? Jules is playing basketball again, for those of you not tuning in on YouTube.
No, this should be it. This should be it now.
Should be it.
Yeah, but Jules, this is
how
very
can
strong.
You say I'm indecisive? You're more indecisive than me. The amount of times you go, I'm going to captain Salah.
Yeah, on captaincy, right. But there will be no changes now to the team between now and Friday.
No changes.
No. Why would I change?
Wow.
Unless somebody gets injured at training, but otherwise, I'm happy with
this. I'm going to check your team and check. Guys, hold
you
to account.
No problem,
for this.
I'll send it to you.
Sam, how locked?
50-50, I reckon I am.
Ooh,
20% she's locked.
Well, you know what? I'm going to do you a favour and I'm going to let you go and finish that team then, because it sounds like you've got a lot of words to do.
I've got a lot of time to do.
This week, Jules has got 47,000 other podcasts to be on, so
that's
we'll let you go.
In 1 minute, so.
Don't forget your FPL team, the deadline. Oh, he literally has got a minute, so I'll let you go. The Pod Mini League Coder reminder is Q7YCO0. That's an O as in the letter. Your deadline, your first one of the season. If you're going to miss one, guys, don't let it be this one. Friday night, 6:30, because the Premier League does get underway on Friday night. So get those teams set. The very best of luck. I know it is stressful these last few days, but it will be worth it. All aboard, the FPL roller coaster is about to begin.